Once again, it is time to grab a chair and sit down with Matt Stringer, the Chief Executive of RNIB, for his weekly roundup. We have a few topics to get through today, Matt. So we're going to start with, this is quite a big topic and has lots of strands, I think we've discussed, and it's See Streets Differently.
Yeah, we've just published a whole raft of information. It's on our website, bringing a number of threads together in this campaign about seeing streets differently. You know, clearly there's an ongoing and currently very necessary focus needed on making sure that blind and partially sighted people can sort of move around safely, you know, around our street architecture, our streetscapes. And clearly there's been lots of challenges to that, you know, either residually or new things that have emerged or sort of crystallized, you know, through COVID and some of the new developments and thinking in transport. And if you go onto our website, you will see a variety of information, not only, you know, hearing the lived experience of blind and partially sighted people trying to navigate streetscapes and the real life problems and challenges you get just trying to simply move around from A to B. You know, we educate people, inform on how blind and partially sighted people do navigate their way around. And then there's a very good 14-point sort of plan for people to think about when it comes to helping make streets accessible. And that's partly things you can do yourself, to also actually understanding how blind and partially sighted people move about and what you might do to help if you see a blind and partially sighted person looking a little unsure as they're moving around the landscape. I mean, the reason why I think it's very important that we pull this point of view together is in a sort of post-COVID world, there's been an acceleration of new elements, if you like, coming into our sort of streetscapes, some e-scooters, docked bikes, the old Boris bike, you know, has exploded across different cities. There's a real push environmentally on cycling, you know, and using e-transport generally as being environmentally friendly. We've had low traffic neighbourhoods introduced, which theoretically are good because they stop cars moving around, but actually do they also force cars onto rat runs? And, you know, do you end up with people having their familiar journeys being derailed? So, you know, lots of very positive things in an environmental focus. Very important for us as an organisation that we have a very, very strong point of view, and our Seeing Streets Differently report is a summary of that.
It is a wide topic. You know, there are things that the public can do, as you say, Matt, you know, hedges, trees overhanging, wheelie bins on the path. But the bigger picture, as you say, e-scooters, we have our pavements changing shapes as well, temporary measures for pavements as well. It is quite challenging. But again, you know, this isn't something that only the powers that be can help out with. You know, the general public can make quite a big difference here as well.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, look, you know, we're all for making sure society works in a post-COVID world. We're very alert to public health needs, you know, all the encouragement for, you know, restaurants and pubs over the summer for people to dine out, to sit outside, you know, for the benefit of circulating air, changing streets to allow more room for cyclists. There's a whole lot of stuff in there that, you know, in principle, you can't argue with. That's all good stuff, and we would absolutely be aligned with that. The issue is to do it in a way that thinks properly and completely around everyone's needs. And as you say, whilst there's a lot there resting with local government and national government and some of the big ticket decisions, everybody can help themselves, as you say, by making sure you're trimming your front hedge if you have one. You're not leaving your bin out on the pavement unduly, even though we've all got to put it out for recycling. But, you know, you're just taking notice and taking care and being considerate over how you operate in a sort of urban environment, particularly to make sure that you're not leaving obstacles and problems for other people coming behind you.
Let's move on then to the budget, Matt. Rishi Sunak stood up and delivered his budget, probably a different budget from what a lot of people were expecting, actually, almost post-COVID or even from a Conservative government. But that also has effects that RNIB looks at as well.
There's a lot of government expenditure in here, which averagely we would think would probably be a good thing for society if it was going into the right things for blind and partially sighted people. The issue is, you know, the devil's in the detail. So if I just trot through some things, you know, we will be pleased about the taper rate decrease in universal credit. You know, we know lots of blind and partially sighted people are relying on sort of disability benefits, you know, which often don't stretch far enough anyway. And so any measure which improves the amount of money people are sort of being able to keep every week to look after themselves is a good thing. We'd love that to be a bit greater, but, you know, reducing the tapering from 63 to 55% was, we think, a good thing. Clearly some money has gone into education, but we are concerned that there's enough money going in, certainly to special educational needs funding, where we know, as we've seen, local authorities have been sort of cutting back services quite arbitrarily, and we've had one or two high-profile interventions with the odd local authority on that. We've highlighted a $700 million education catch-up funding, which we think would help young people catch up on sort of lost learning and help that reach disabled children. And again, you know, these headline numbers don't necessarily allow us to see the detail. We'd be concerned that there is not enough focus going on to make sure that money is finding its way towards disabled children and blind and partially sighted children. Just linking back to our previous topic, we recognise an amount of investment still in transport. So we welcome, you know, investment in bus services and to make cycling and walking, as we've just been discussing, easier and safer. And as a lot of blind and partially sighted people move around under their own steam or get the bus, we think that's a good thing. However, you know, we have been campaigning hard on tactile paving edges on railway platforms, and we've made some good progress there in terms of money being invested and the time reducing for that work to be finished. But what we're not clear about from the budget is that we didn't see a specific ring fence funding to finish the job quickly. And whilst the government will be investing over many years 46 billion quid in railways, we are not clear that that ring fence is what we think is about 60 million to finish doing the job. I think, like many, just unclear about how the extra funding for social care is going to land. You know, clearly we are pleased with the previous announcement on tax increases that were going to go partly to the health service and partly theoretically for social care, to sort of fix social care, as the Prime Minister has promised. But, you know, that money can be spread thinly over a variety of council services, and it's not clear that everywhere that money is going to be focused in on social care, and certainly it's not clear whether it's enough money to focus in on social care. And then finally, you know, we know the amount of people that didn't present themselves into the health service through COVID, you know, because of nervousness of going into hospital. We know that number to be many millions of people waiting for an appointment, and previous tax rise announced plus 5.9 billion announced yesterday for the health service, you know, clearly means that there is more money there to fund services to sort of chomp through that backlog. You know, we're just concerned that enough is going to go into iHealth, you know, and there are some structural challenges there around, you know, the number of ophthalmologists and other skilled staff who are able to actually eat into that that waiting list of people who've been putting off an iHealth appointment. So, you know, sort of welcome the money, but we don't know yet whether a fair chunk of that is going to go towards iHealth and is going to be enough to make a difference. And maybe the final thing, and this is very much something we're working on as a campaigning element, is, and we've talked about it before, is accessible voting. You know, the democratic principle works because you can go in secret into the booth and put a cross on the paper. And again, it's unclear whether the funding is being made available for that to be delivered as we would like. And we have an ongoing conversation with the Cabinet Office about that, with the next meeting on the 12th of November. So I think we have an opportunity one final time to agitate and lobby to get the right answer, but it's unclear from the budget whether the funding is going to be forthcoming for that.
The devil in the detail, as you say, Matt, and we'll continue to look at these topics as time goes on. Time for one more discussion point, and we will be talking over the next few weeks and a couple of months anyway, as we head towards Christmas, about what RNIB is getting involved in, including the Elf Academy.
So if you're on our website, you will see the Elf Academy is now open. And, you know, simply what that is to engage with us so that we can send your child, and it is for children or adults, he says, just reminding us, a personalised letter from Santa for Christmas, particularly alongside a lot of other sort of fun activities that come as part of the process. So it's all a bit of fun, but serious point, you know, we've run the service over many years. It's massively popular. Delighted, you know, it's here again, and why wouldn't it be? It's a sort of big part of our Christmas celebrations, and I just encourage any children and parents who are helping to go online and find that you can get a magical letter from Santa in the format which is appropriate. And just to remind people, we can do Braille uncontracted, we can do contracted Braille, we can do large print, and we can do audio.
Now, if you would like more information on any of the topics we're talking about, including the Elf Academy, the fun stuff, of course, then do go to rnib.org.uk. You can also call the helpline on 0303 123 9999, and if you have an Amazon Echo, just ask Lady A to call the RNIB helpline. Well, Matt, who'd have thought we'd be finishing on Christmas in October?
And I think with about whatever 5 or 8 weeks to go to Christmas, plenty of time to come back through our Christmas offering, remind people about the elf, and I'm sure there'll be some Christmas gifts on our website and some Christmas cards that we can talk about in the next few weeks as well. So we'll look forward to doing that with you next week.
And we will speak next week with Matt here on RNIB Connect Radio.